continue the podcast at any point, you guys.
Okay. I mean, we have been recording.
You have been recording?
Of course. I'm always recording these things.
Well, are we going to start a podcast then?
Greetings, Zapper Posse. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And we come to you from our various undisclosed locations throughout the Twin Cities to talk at you.
Ooh. I mean, we're all still in Minneapolis. We're all still even in South Minneapolis.
They're narrowing it down. They're going to find us, and that's going to be a disaster. I mean, because then we can be held accountable for this.
Let's be clear. Nobody wants to find the two of you. And if somebody did find me, they'd be in trouble.
There's that.
Apparently, some people have my address and they keep mailing stuff to me. I still am not entirely sure how that happened. But and then Jenna, you just a couple weeks ago told everybody where you were moving to.
That's true. It's a secure building, but again, I'm not overly worried about it.
Oh, yeah. James is really the only one with, you know, anonymity here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what are we all drinking tonight?
I'm doing my sober month. So for this month, I will be drinking Virgin Hot Toddies.
so you got a hot tea?
Yes, hot tea. This particular one is I'm going through the teas that I have in my basket that have just been sitting there forever. Or that I don't remember ever buying that maybe just ended up in my teas. So this one is a one-off that I had in my tea basket. It's a Yogi Tea Lemon Ginger. And it has one of those tea bag things. It says, on the tea bag, it says, I am beautiful. I am bountiful. I am blissful.
Is it an egg?
No, I don't think there's an egg. I think that's supposed to be for you. Like that's who you are. It's not like a question. It's not a Bazooka Joe bubblegum. It's not a joke. It's just little mental health mantra.
Okay. Kind of is it thing. A tree?
Oh my God.
It's a ramp.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. I'm drinking a cloudy sake.
That looks like milk.
It really does.
And it is
cloudy.
Hot.
It's just a snowdrift. Ooh, hot sake. What kind of sake is it?
I'll grab the bottle later. It's out there.
All right. That's
I wasn't thinking about it.
That's fair.
Oh my God, it's real good though.
I believe you.
Yeah, I'll grab the bottle because.
All right.
Dang.
Excellent. I am drinking Glendulin 12 year right now, and I do have to say, I said however many months ago that we've got these bottles of scotch that CD Scotchbringer brought over that I wasn't going to touch until we could all get together. And I gotta say, they've been sitting in the exact same spot for the last 9 months or whatever. And
I'm so proud of you.
And I'm just getting really.
They're
itchy.
A little lower, but they've been sitting in the same spot.
No,
you just bought a straw.
No, I haven't touched them, but every time I come down here, I just look at them, going, God damn it, why is this taking so goddamn long?
I would not be offended if you had some of the scotch that's sitting over there.
I mean, if I had drunk some of them like 6 months ago, I would have already forgotten what they taste like, and it would have been a new experience all over for me. But now it's a point of pride.
Yeah.
We're probably not getting together for another like 3 months bare minimum.
Yeah.
And you forget what you do from week to week. Let alone...
Who are you people?
Goddamn, Salsa. So, yeah. Like, don't... Yeah. I'm not worried about it, if you have... Oh.
I, however, will hold it against you, as if you needed more motivation to drink scotch.
It's fair.
So, anyway, I should take it.
Anyway, hey, Salsa.
Hmm.
What you been up to?
Well, I started playing Breath of the Wild.
Ooh. Feelings?
I'm angry.
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
I don't like, it's very pretty, mm-hmm. but I honestly don't know how much longer I'm going to stick with it.
Is it because everything breaks when you look at it?
Nothing is broken.
The weapons and stuff?
Oh no, I can get behind that. That's not a problem.
Oh, okay. It just doesn't have content that is of any interest to you?
No, it just, it doesn't, I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do.
Oh.
Like, I got, okay, I tell you where I'm stuck right now. Okay. I am stuck because some old duder is like, you can use my fire to cook food. And I'm like, mm-hmm. cool, I should do that now. Mm-hmm. You're gonna tell me how to do that. Nope. Okay, no, because, like, I go to the fire, and it's like, sit. And I'm like, okay, I'll sit. And then it's like, how long do you want to sit? And I guess until the morning, and then it's morning. And it's like, where was the cooking part?
Yep.
Like, is there a... I still don't fucking know,
yeah,
what.
You open your inventory, you grab up to 5 items from your cookable things...
Okay, but how do I...
It'll tell you inside the menu, it'll be like, hold item, which puts it into your hands.
Okay, but how do I get to that? Like, where is the cooking
menu? You just open the item menu, you hold up to 5 things...
I'm holding a lot of things. What?
Outside of the... Like, physically in his hands, he will hold 5... items. Like, if you have 20 apples, you can take 5 of them and put them into his hands, and then when you leave the menu, he's still holding them. And then you can drop them by the fire and they cook. If there's a little pot on top of the thing, then...
Yeah, there is.
You walk over to the little pot that's on top of it, and it says... It shows you the button, and it says cook.
I can't. Okay.
Yeah, so you just put the items in his hands.
That would have been really nice for him to tell me how to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm so lost right now, because he's like, you've got to go to mm-hmm. to these shrines.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't get to the shrines because it's fucking cold.
But you can't get ye flask. And then you just have to sit and wonder why you can't get ye flask. There are 3 different levels of HUD, of heads-up display.
Okay.
There's the super rich one that tells you the temperature, the time, which way you're facing, whenever you approach something that you can interact with a button, okay. It tells you what the button is and labels it and all of that stuff. There's the like median one that pulls way back on that. And then there's the zero.
Like, I think I'm on the first one, but maybe not.
Okay. Like, when you walk up to an apple or something like that, it tells you, and then it gives you a little button that says pick up apple.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're on the one that shows you everything. So when you walk up to a fire, it should give you the option to, and you're holding an item, it should give you. And there was a thing, and you may have breezed past it. I don't know, because the game plays differently for everybody, which is kind of the
poor,
good thing.
Poor design.
Not exactly.
Like, if a basic fundamental way of interacting with this game just isn't explained to you in any way, shape, or form.
I remember it being explained, is the thing. I remember
all
it being.
I did, like, I walked up to the fire, and he said, oh, I'm just sitting here by the fire. You can cook food in my cook pot if you want. And that's all he said. He didn't tell me how to do it. I assumed, like most rational people, I suppose, that when you walk up to the cook pot, you should have a cook button, but apparently you don't.
I would like that. That's a very good design also. There are things that I wish were designed differently.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm on the basic first like level, and I can't figure out how to do anything at all, really. Like I said, I can't get to the shrines because it's cold, so apparently I need something warmer, but... Mm-hmm. Where do I get that? There's no vendors where I can buy warmer clothing, so I'm just...
You're not a person who hates spoilers, so I can tell you that there are a lot of ways to get warm, and fire is one of them. If you carry fire with you,
yeah, but if I carry fire, it burns my shit up.
Unless it's designed for it.
Right,
if it's
even
a torch.
A torch eventually burns through.
No.
Well, I thought I had one that burned through. Anyway.
But yeah.
It's aggravating because also this is by far the most maddening thing on the planet. Is for some fucking reason PlayStation is like A will be here and B will be here.
Oh yeah.
And Xbox is like A will be here and B will be here. And Nintendo's like, I'm gonna put those two in exactly the opposite place.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
here's the hardest part is that the place that the okay and back or okay and cancel are on the PlayStation, they're in the same spot as they are on the Switch. The only thing is they knew that the American audience would interpret those two symbols backward, so they flipped them for the American PlayStation. The X and the O, cancel and O is okay.
Like I have played
in Japan.
I have played PlayStation and Xbox for the past however many years because I'm not a Nintendo person, and now I'm trying to play this thing, and everything is backwards.
You can flip that, by the way.
Oh,
you can.
Really?
There's a system setting to just go in and customize the button.
I may have to do that.
Any game or the system entirely.
It's just very frustrating and maddening, and this game is not.
Especially when things are not where you expect them to be, I 100% get that.
I feel like a complete idiot running it. And I'm not a complete idiot. I play games. I've played many games. And this one seems like it's really poorly designed in they really don't tell you how to do anything.
Well, and there are a couple of videos that talk about how that is incredibly...
I don't want to watch a video.
No. I'm not talking about for you.
No, he's supporting you. Honey. He's supporting you, Salsa. He's not correcting you this time. He's supporting you.
Well, I'm adding information to what you have just said.
Okay.
And that is, there are videos who talk about people who are not lifelong gamers find that style to be much easier and much more intuitive for them. Like, there's a series called My Wife Plays This. My wife, who is not a gamer, plays blank. And Dark Souls, a couple of puzzle games, some shooters, and then Breath of the Wild. And he watched her play Breath of the Wild, and she chose solutions that were completely different from what he, as a gamer, would have done. But they worked. Completing a puzzle with items that have a particular property instead of unlocking doors to get the boxes that he was sure she needed. Things like that. Yeah.
Whatever. I was extremely angered and frustrated.
Yeah.
And I will give it another go, but I've played like 2 days now and I'm still in the first land because I just don't fucking understand what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah. It's also, it is a gigantic game. The area that you are in, the Great Plateau, is larger than the entire world of Skyrim. And it is 1/8 of the map, I think. So there's a lot of space. There's a lot to do. There are a lot of things to find and a lot of. But the I guess the advice that I would give is, if you're having trouble with the controls, look them up, because there are guides that don't spoil anything. Not that that's anything for you.
And then the big fucking stone guys that shoot lasers at you, and I'm just like, I can't scratch them. I still can't figure out how to fight them. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, look, my cross stitch.
How do I defeat him? Like I
sat down and figured it out. I didn't know when I faced my first one, but I was absolutely determined.
I have tried to like kite around him, and I have tried to shoot everything I have at him, and I've tried the strafing, and I can't. Mm-hmm. I hit him and nothing. It bounces off of him.
Well, the eye is a weak spot.
They one shot me. Yeah.
Yeah. The eye is a weak spot, and if you have a shield, you can bounce their laser.
I tried that.
It's hard.
It just like fucking went through my shield and killed me.
It's a timing thing. But yeah.
I wish somebody would tell me that.
Well, somebody just did.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I wish also, if fucking you, game if you find yourself if you find yourself unable to cook, fucking send me a text message.
No, but when you're reading a recipe, it tells you what to fucking do. Like, it says, this is how you do these things.
Well, it tells you ingredients to put in, yeah.
Yes.
It says, you're talking about like a real life recipe.
They don't just give you a list of ingredients and say fucking good luck. They give you a list of ingredients and then they give you a step by step instruction of how to do it. They give you the mechanics. They give you the mechanics.
This is the middle. This is the second of three challenges.
I want the game to be a challenge, not figuring out how to fucking play the game being a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how to play the game, and then make the game the challenge.
Yeah.
Don't make trying to figure out how to play the game the challenge. That's stupid.
And I'm trying to think where I picked up a lot of the controls and things like that. A lot of it is, this is what Salsa's going to hate, talking to people.
Oh, fuck that.
Not even necessarily Mario human Kart. Being.
I also played Mario Kart.
I was wondering when we were just going to shift away.
That was also fun as hell. My kids love Mario Kart.
Oh, Mario Kart's a fucking blast.
We got Mario Kart like New Year's Eve, I want to say, is when we introduced the kids to Mario Kart. Either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. I think it might have been New Year's Day, actually. We introduced the kids to Mario Kart. And they woke up the next morning and were like, can we play Mario Kart?
They were hungry for it.
Oh, ooh, yeah. No, they enjoy the Mario Kart a great deal. They love the Mario Kart. And this one has handicaps on it, as opposed to the ones that we grew up playing. The kids can actually play it without hating everything. You know, so it does assist them a little bit. So they are able to participate and not feel like they're worthless. Lilibeth actually won a race at one point.
Wow.
Yeah, she came in first.
My nephew was excited, so resoundingly unimpressed with Mario Kart because he had been playing Forza at the age of like 8.
I can't stand those games.
He'd been playing incredibly technical racers before that. So anything that was like, you're going to throw a banana peel. And he's like, why would I ever do that?
Because there's no blue shell in Forza. That's why. No, but they very much love it. They are hooked very much so. And we will slowly wean them off the handicaps as time goes on.
Yeah.
But some like the handicap of the steering assist, where if you're if you're gonna go off the track, it kind of is like, I'm just gonna kind of turn you a little bit here. Even my wife is like, I'm gonna leave that one on.
Fair enough.
But the thing is like, it was frustrating because there was these little symbols here, but they're very small, and you hardly even notice that they're there, and they aren't really clearly labeled as to what they are. So I was going fucking insane. I was so angry at the, because the game was fucking broken for me. Because I kept
talking about Mario Kart.
Yes, I because I kept drifting to the right. I was drifting like in order to go straight, I had to have my the stick all the way to the left just to go straight. Like it was really badly out of tune, and it made me so angry. So I finally switched to a different controller. The kids went to bed, and I switched to one of the kids' controllers. Same thing. And I was just like, I'm driving along, and I am just pulling really, really hard to the right. And I'm in order to go straight, I've got to have my thumb on all the way to the left just to go straight. And finally, I handed the controller to my wife, and I'm like, feel this. And she drives for half a lap, and she's like, yeah, it's fine. I don't know what the problem is. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And so we do another race.
Mm-hmm.
Straight as an arrow. No problems. What the fuck? Okay.
Huh?
Next race. Again, I'm pulling really fucking hard to the right. Like, what the fuck is going on? Apparently, at some point, I had somehow turned on the tilt control.
Oh, yeah.
And I was sitting with one leg up, so I had the controller resting on my lap.
Oh, honey, no.
With it angled to the right.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, sweetie.
And when my wife took the controller from me, she held it level in her two hands in front of her.
Yeah, of course.
And that next race, because I was angry, I sat forward, so my elbows were resting evenly on both knees, so I was level. But then the next race, I sat back and put my knee up, and I rested my hands in my lap, and the controller was tilted to the right again.
Oh, wow.
And I finally Googled, like, this fucking controller is pulling, and they were like, do you have the tilt on, the tilt steering? And I was like, oh, you son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I turned that off, and suddenly I have no problems. But I was angry. Like, Raiderly was seriously like, you need to, like, take a break or something? Because I was angry. Because it kept happening to me, and I didn't know why.
My controller is broken.
Well, and, again, I would hand it to her, and it would be fucking fine. And I was like, no, what is going on?
Controller is gaslighting you, Salsa.
But yeah,
that it just like that brings up a lot of different things from my childhood. But one of my favorite things is that one of the first games to involve like sort of the tilt thing was I think like the PS3 Little Big Planet.
Uh-huh.
And they had a mechanic where you could gesture with your head by tilting the controller all over the place so that you could like nod people in particular ways even while you're holding stuff. For whatever reason, they felt that was super important. And one of the people who draws a webcomic, he perpetually like holds the top of the controller under his chin.
Uh-huh.
With his, you know, his thumbs pointed down and everything like that. Yeah. And so his little sack boy, his little person, was constantly like looking up at the stars, lost in thought, as he's just like chucking across whatever tiny planet, or just right. I fucking love it. Yeah, unintended consequences of the user interface. It's good.
Yeah.
But no, that's pretty funny. Yeah. Oh.
Basically, my Switch experience thus far has not been the most positive of experiences.
Yeah.
Like, my wife loves it. She plays her Animal Crossing and her Mario Kart and is having a grand old time, and more power to her. I'm going to stick to Steam, I think.
Fair.
All right.
Yeah, I'm done. What about you guys?
Hey, I'm the old house is done.
Woo!
It is so done. We spent like forever cleaning and patching and putting things away and getting like cleaning the sills and the little divoty part in the cabinetry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like just that little in between crack thing that's in there and the all of the bumps and the molding and the floorboards and the, oh my God. So we cleaned that place. It is clean. I defy anyone to find something that is not clean with that place. Defy.
But, I'll do it.
All right. No. That's defiling salsa.
Oh.
That's a different.
I mean, I would walk. I would walk through it and then turn around and go, "See, it's dirty."
Yeah.
You're a jerk, though.
Yes, it's true.
But yeah, so all of that cleaning happened, and instead of doing a walkthrough with the landlord, I wrote out an email with all of the things that. Number one, things that we had found there when we moved in, things that had never been addressed, new things that had happened. I was like, here's a list of stuff. And the keys were left, and I have pictures of everything if the landlords start to get finicky about things. Right. But
well documented.
Huh?
Well documented.
Yeah. But yeah, otherwise we're not doing anything ever again with that place. It's done.
That is a relief.
So fucking happy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. yep. So yeah, I've still got a bunch of stuff in the back of my car, from getting the last of all of the things out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I just haven't had the energy to look at it after of cleaning and packing and moving and packing and cleaning and
no, there's always that last like thing that you didn't notice was there until the final walkthrough that you grab and then you stick in your car and then 2 years later you find it under the seat and you go, what the fuck is this doing in here?
Right. And I mean, like, a lot of it is stuff that I actually want, like cleaning supplies. I just don't have the energy to go deal with the last of the shit that's in my car.
Yeah.
Do you need any plywood? Does anybody need plywood?
Yes, actually.
Okay. I'm going to drop off some plywood.
Okay.
Cool.
how much plywood?
Two pretty sizable sheets.
Okay.
A couple of knots, I'm really bad at measuring, but I think one of them was almost a full 8x4.
Okay, I don't need that big. If you've got,
well, that's what I have.
Okay, well, then I'll take it then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna drop off my plywood, and
yeah.
I mean,
and you want to know what? If you need smaller plywood, you can fucking cut it.
No,
from the
absolutely,
big stuff.
No, definitely. what I'm saying is, yeah. I'm planning on making it's a rest for the lathe. Basically, what it is when you're turning something that's long, like if you're turning a bowl, a lot of the center of gravity is close to the chuck, what's holding onto it. But if you're turning something like a goblet, you've got a lot of weight really far away from the chuck. And what you do is you basically create a secondary pivot point by having something that encircles it, and you have wheels that come out to touch it in 3 points around it so that it stabilizes it.
Okay.
That way I can turn goblets.
So, man. Yeah, I think I've got like an 8x, maybe it's an 8x3, I don't know, and like a 4x4 maybe. I'm so bad at measurements.
No, that's fine. I will take it and be happy. Thank you.
Excellent. Good. Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to drop this off at like 15 different locations either. Like, you get a sheet and then you get a sheet.
Yeah,
so,
I'll take them.
Yeah. If you want it all, you can have it all. I will make that delivery.
Cool.
Once I actually clean the rest of the shit out of my car. So sometime mid-March.
Tough but fair.
I'm in no hurry.
It'll probably be this weekend sometime.
I'm not doing anything in the garage until it warms up anyway.
All right. But yeah, that's it. And then I'm out. And I finished there and then I went over to Joe's.
And all exciting things.
We watched 30 Rock. We finished 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I am Liz Lemon.
Yeah.
I was fighting it the entire time. And then the second to last episode is Liz trying her goddamn hardest to pull together this episode and just coming up against all of these things. And like, more so than the normal drama, it was just like, oh, buddy. And I was like, oh shit, that is me. Okay. Never mind.
Story checks out.
Yeah.
And that's just what we were doing at New Year's stuff. Cause
nice.
I've started doing exercise and yoga stretchy things again.
Oh, hooray!
Because it's not even like a New Year's resolution thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, haha, New Year's resolution, I'm going to work out more. No, right. I've been wanting to for like the past few weeks,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had shit to get done.
Right,
right.
So the timing just happens that, you know, well, now it just looks like a New Year's resolution.
We'll still blame you. We'll still say that it is.
That's
how that works.
No,
we're jerks.
I'm digging this answer. James, you can stay.
All right.
Damn it. I've been working out my body because I've been having lower back pain. Past few, I think I talked about the pelvic tilt thing. So a lot of this is trying to just fix that.
Yeah.
But then also, I am a different shape than I want to be. There is nothing inherently bad or good about my shape. It's just not the shape that I want to have right now. So
legit.
I'm going to attempt to do something about it. And if I can, great. And if this is just how my perimenopausal body is going to exist, then so be it. I'm going to see what I can do about this.
Yeah.
Joe finds me pretty. That's good. I have moments where I'm happy and moments where I'm unhappy with my body, but.
Joe liking something is pretty flattering to whatever that is.
Huh?
Joe liking something is pretty flattering to whatever whomever.
He's. But like, and here's the thing is that I am definitely much bigger than I've been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my weight is. I don't care. That's not my goal.
Yeah.
Fuck that bullshit.
I put a coffee cup on my belly recently. I definitely have packed on a few.
I don't know what my weight is. But I know what I look like and how I kind of feel overall. And I've, like I said, I've been various sizes and there's always been good and bad points to every size.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like one of those, oh, I'm feeling fat and ugly kind of things. It's like, no, I have, glorious breasts right now. And some pretty nice butt jiggle going on.
Nice.
But there's a little tummy thing that I'm not happy about.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas compare me to 20 years ago. I had a very flat stomach, an adorable little bedink-a-dink, and like no chest at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like there's always just kind of these pros and cons with any kind of body shape.
Sure.
And yeah. I feel like especially for women, we never feel particularly happy with our bodies. Like,
yeah.
Just because how society pushes. So yeah.
You're told not to
right.
be.
Right.
You're told that whatever shape you are is wrong.
How yeah. dare you be feminine, but not that way.
I'm
in the wrong way.
I am one of the least feminine femmes I know. I'm like, and that's accurate. There's nothing inaccurate about that.
Oh,
statement.
No, absolutely. I'm
just the least feminine femme.
None of us are going to gainsay you.
No, she would hurt us.
So, yeah. That's accurate. Probably with weapons. Yeah. So, yeah. Working on some of that stuff. Doing my no booze month,
mm-hmm.
which like, I feel like there's this perception that I'm an alcoholic and that's not true. I'm not an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I don't struggle with a disease. Mm-hmm. I just like to drink.
Yep.
A lot. So, yeah, like, it's, you know, there's that whole, well, I can quit anytime I want. Like, no, I actually can.
Yeah.
But I do the sober month in honor of Bill, who always did a sober month. And it was always January, which I wish he had picked February because that's a shorter month and I like to drink.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Sounds like a theme.
What? Hmm. No, it's affected next to nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm taking vitamins. Like a big girl.
Are they Mommy gummy vitamins?
No. They are gummy vitamins.
That's delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, because we're fucking grown-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
technically, yes.
Vitamins and they're chewables, but they're like those orange chewable things that taste like powder in your mouth.
Oh, yeah. No, like, those aren't fun.
Down on a bunch of Tang, and I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I mean,
these like vitamins, and I'm like, you do not understand.
Kind of selling it to me, yeah. Like the Flintstone kids vitamins.
Those were okay.
Yeah. Yeah, those are what you're reminding me of.
Yeah, I would rather have just the swallow a pill vitamins than the Tang explosion capsules.
Tang explosion capsules. That's delightful.
That's my Talking Heads cover band.
Ooh,
that's
nice.
Good.
Or my Frank Zappa cover. Frank Zappa.
Hmm. And then the last bit about my life is that I don't live with my daughter anymore.
Yeah.
Yay. Aw. Yay.
Aw.
But also aw. But also yay.
But also aw.
But like I was so used to like seeing my daughter every day, every other day kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, spending time watching Star Trek with her and having meals with her and all those other things. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen my daughter in almost a week. And I'm going a little crazy.
Yeah.
Going a little crazy. Like, I messaged her on Saturday or Sunday at some point. I was like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, I'm fine. Fine, mom.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Like, okay. I'm here if you need me.
Still alive.
Yep. Just you. Let me know if you need anything. Yep. That's that's it. That's my life.
Well, what do you say? Should we take a break?
I think we'd better had.
Yeah, let's do that thing.
All right, we'll take a break. Well, you know how this works.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. And check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
You could just not for a couple. Yeah.
I feel like that's a pretty common request from you, is to ask me to just not for a couple of minutes.
Me or Salsa or yes?
Yes.
And we're back. Oh. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Jenna.
Hey, James, the thing that we said you should not do, do it.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
No, not that one.
Oh, the other one. Oh,
failure.
All right, let me take them off, and I'll.
A different one.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right. No, I what I've been up to very recently, aside from getting myself a therapist for my own individual needs, is to play video games that I think help me to flex muscles in my brain that I need strengthened. In particular, paying attention to tasks and completing them in a timely manner. Paying attention to multiple things and completing them in a timely manner. I've been playing a game called Raft with young Eric Thompson. Curse the fool. I've
been seeing that one on Steam. It looks interesting.
It is a... Like, when I was looking at it, I was like, okay, this looks like another survival game, right?
Kind
you know,
of,
like
yeah.
Ark, 7 Days to Die, Rust, Don't Starve.
But this one has sharks.
The Long Dark. And those are all great games. They all have something unique about them that is really intrinsically fucking cool. One of the things about them is... there is a lot of uncertainty based on your exploration, mm-hmm. and randomized things, and there is a lot of danger, and you're constantly splitting up to go exploring. You know, even if you're playing with a friend and you're playing Ark, the two of you can go and explore together, and maybe it's easier or something like that. But it's also kind of a fucking hassle. And it, like, Eric ended up constantly trying to drag my dead body out of a lagoon full of wyverns when we were playing Ark together. And it became, like, it was fucking, it was a great adventure.
Ark or Raft?
Ark.
Okay, I thought we were talking.
We are. But that's the thing that I like about Raft is that the exploration...
I see, okay.
...you do by moving your encampment, your raft... from place to place, to these tiny islands. You run onto the island, you grab the stuff, it's almost like Inside Out from the way that it works with all of these other games where you build an encampment somewhere and then you race out to these distant places to bring stuff back. And you locate these cabins or these castles or things like that, and then you have to go into those mm-hmm. and come back out and then go across this huge distance in order to, it's very stressful. And there are things that are really stressful about Raft, but it just feels somehow way more manageable. And what I discovered is that I really, instead of having... instead of going and doing the adventuring, what I wanted was to stay on the raft, chase birds away from our garden, keep the grills stocked with food, and use a little grappling hook to fish things out of the ocean, mm-hmm. and to build the basic tools that we needed for things. Like that, and spot stuff on the horizon and try to navigate and things like that. Like I loved that. And those are all things that I'm really bad at.
Right.
That thing, like with cooking, the skill that people pick up in cooking, aside from just doing the regular menial stuff faster, is the ability to start the sauce at the right time so that it's done when the noodles mm-hmm. are perfect.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And that has always been something that I've struggled with in real life. But I found that in this game, I was, you know, I would fish a couple things out. I would be like, okay, I need water. Eric probably needs water. And that was the constant thing. I'd be like, Eric, honey, do you need some food and water? And, you know, he'd be like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm above half on my little meters. Or he would be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I do. And he would come back and eat and drink. And I'd be like, okay, there's grilled stuff over here, and there's the water is just about done, and that kind of stuff. And it, for whatever reason, that really clicked for me, because instead of allowing that inability to focus to pull me away from something, it was creating a situation where I was more constantly aware of where everything was in its process.
Okay.
Because I was constantly like checking these things, because there were a finite number of things to check. Mm-hmm. And so just like, is this boiling? No, I need to make it boil. Does this need fuel? It does. Is that grilled? It not quite. How low are our stocks of fish? We need more. I'm going to get that. Mm-hmm. You know, just
yeah.
And just keeping up with that, there was something really nice about focusing on that and kind of losing myself into it. It has been a while since I have felt that kind of zen in something.
Sure. I get that.
Because there's like a sort of a Satori zen state for giant robots for me. There's a, for playing Tetris, for playing, you know, things like that. Do you have games that scratch those itches for you, or help you to expand your, if nothing else, just your confidence?
Ooh, confidence building. I have a horrifying story of how, like, a game shattered my confidence for a bit.
Oh?
So I'm playing Sims. And I think this was probably about 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I did the thing that a lot of people will do in Sims, where they make their own household with the people that they already, you know, have in their household or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I made a little Sim Jenna, and I made a little Sim Jessa. Everything was going great. We're all like top peak everything. Mm-hmm. All the checkboxes. And then I pause the game and I walk away. Only I didn't pause the game.
Oh no.
And I came back to it 2 hours later as Child Protective Services was taking away my daughter. Oh, and I was just like, oh God, my Sim baby. I'm a horrible parent. And it was weird because, like, obviously this has no bearing on reality.
Sure.
Right. But there was still a part of me that felt oddly guilty and incapable because my fake daughter was being carried off by Child Protective Services.
Sure, yeah.
It was just like, it just hit the wrong button for me, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, don't tell me I'm a bad parent. That's going to go poorly even in fantasy world. But I'm trying to think if there are games that have developed specific skills. Like, I think maybe one of the reasons why I am so good at project management, networking, pattern finding, analytical things is due to the kind of pattern recognition, analytical, logic puzzle type games that I play.
Yeah.
And it's possible that those games just to kind of help keep me sharp on those things.
Mm-hmm.
I like Picross, Sudoku, Match 3 puzzle games.
Yeah.
Logic puzzles are fun. Although, that it's hard to find a good logic puzzle that doesn't have like 15 different answers, but they only want one.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. One of those like mind trap ones.
Oh, yeah, I hate those. Like, and that's what I want, though. I want that kind of figure out the logic puzzle type thing.
Yeah.
Without having to figure it out the way they want me to figure it out.
Yeah.
At least I'm willing to figure it out the way they want me to figure it out if they give me a clear set of stuff to be able to follow that path.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, but like, when they're just like, look around the room and see what you can find that might solve this problem. And then I put there was one thing where like I found the answer to one of the later questions too soon. I was told there was nothing interesting about that object. And then like later on I got like, so I was like, oh, okay. And so like I figured it out and I answered the first question or solved the first puzzle and did a couple more. And then I didn't think that object was necessary for anything.
Right.
Because I was told there was nothing interesting about that object.
Yeah.
But now it's interesting because it's a different puzzle, but I'm supposed to know that it's interesting. No, I'll fuck that bullshit. Yeah. A poorly written puzzle or logic game is worthless. It's worthless. It's worse than worthless. I think it dumbs down society.
So you were playing Breath of the Wild.
Oh my God. No, I wasn't. I've watched somebody play it. It was pretty. But that particular style was far too open in procedural choices for my liking, so I just never played it.
I realized over the break, by the way, I went out to take a look at the bottle.
The sake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll pull that up while I'm talking about this. It is Ozeki Nigori Cloudy Sake.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Yes. And it's delicious. So the thing that I realized is that salsa's job, when people say, I don't know how to do this thing, is 90% Googling shit to find the answer.
Yeah?
It was.
Now it is not?
Now it is not. Now Google would be worthless in my job.
Yeah.
All right.
But I feel like Google might have been able to help.
Oh, God.
No, I get that, but what I'm saying...
No, I am steering this around. We are not going back to the whole Fuck you guys, I am turning us around.
Oh, okay.
I hear it. I already listened to... I lost 10 minutes of my life earlier in this podcast, and I don't want to lose another 5.
You're going to turn this podcast around and take us home?
We're putting it aside. We're just...
My answer is nonograms.
Oh, yeah? Yeah?
Nonograms and crossword puzzles. I love nonograms and crossword puzzles. They scratch an itch in me that when I say it this way, it sounds trite, but they make me feel smart.
Sure.
You know what I mean, though?
No, yeah.
Like,
I do, yeah. I play Asimov's Super Quiz and the cryptograms.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like, the cryptograms, one, you can just brute force that shit. Two, there are patterns that exist functionally always as long as it's in your language.
Right.
I want to know more about what Salsa was saying.
Yeah.
And I have done crosswords in German, and it's fucking hard. but just the sense of accomplishment that you get when you complete one of those puzzles. You know, you're just like, ha ha, I beat you. You know, I solved this puzzle, you know, because I had all of the mechanics explained to me before I started. sorry, Jenna. Couldn't resist.
Whatever.
But...
oh, my. Sipping my tea.
I really like. I've been sitting here trying to think of any other games that have like helped me or something like that. And the only other games that really I can think of is like the stealth games that I play, Dishonored, Thief, you know, Assassin's Creed to some degree, where you really need to just kind of sit and watch and. Memorize the patterns, you know, and, and kind of go where is the right moment, you know, and then picking that precise moment to act, you know, and recognizing that this is the time, you know, and being really, really, really patient and not just diving in head first and going, I'm just going to go guns blazing, because that's a good way to get yourself killed. But to just think about it and think about it and think about it. And I don't know if that's... The reason I didn't say that originally was because I'm not sure if that is something that helps me be the way I am, or if I like those games because that's the way I already am. You know, I'm not sure.
I feel like a game like that... Like, that could just be enhancing a natural inclination. Like, you're drawn to it because you already have kind of an inclination towards it. But it can still build on that.
Okay, that's...
It could be, you know, cyclical.
That's fair.
That snake could be eating its own tail.
The Ouroboros
of gaming. Oh,
no. Not Linguini.
The Ouroboros of Linguinis.
Our poor tiny string. I get the... I was talking to somebody about designing puzzles for the upcoming campaign for Dungeon Drawlers. And they were talking about, like, when you design puzzles, you can have, you know, you push the button and the door opens and the puzzle is finding the button. Or you can have... you, instead of a button, it's a lock, and you have to find the key that goes in the lock that, you know, lets you open the thing, and there's a button inside, and you push the button, and the door opens. Or, you know, like, you can take something simple like that, and you can add several steps. And even though none of those things are really brain-busting puzzles, adding those extra little bits of things to do, carrying something from one place to the next, assembling two things, finding the clue inside something after you've been looking at it, or turning something upside down and finding that it's the answer. All of that stuff, it's not hugely complicated. And of course, the people who've been doing that forever, who have been solving Dungeons and Dragons problems and things like that, logic puzzles, mind trap stuff, they're going to have a set of tools that are available to them that lead them to specific conclusions first. The example that I have for that is I went to an escape room that was secret agent themed, and one of the first padlocks that we came up to, they had set the combination as 007. Right?
Okay.
Which to me is like, that's just what you try first in a secret agent themed escape room with a three number padlock. Of course you're going to try that first. But the ability to make the players feel smart for solving something is the reason that I had asked somebody else for significant help. Because I've got the frame story and everything like that. I've got, you know, all of that stuff's pretty easy to make. But designing a world and puzzles that will make my players feel good about completing their objective, but that will also be hard. That will, you know, that's something that I needed someone to step in on, so that they would get that feeling that you're talking about, and not, you know, the feeling that Jenna was talking about with my
telling my daughter. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there's that. But I think it's a good question. If there are games that lead you to flex or hone those tools. One of my favorite stories about somebody doing what you're talking about in Salsa was Mav's, I think, first and second day at the fencing booth. Longtime listener, frequent writer, Mav.
Not so frequent recently.
Yeah, there's that.
But the
story goes, and I will always get booth stories about 80% correct. But the story is that the first day he did nothing except sit back in the booth and just watch people do stuff. Mm-hmm. And then he went shopping. You know, he just fucked off and went shopping, and he bought boots, pants, shirt, gloves, mm-hmm. hat, all of that good. And then the next day he sits in it and he watches for a little bit. And then when there's a break in the action, he just walks out into the ring and he just starts to, you know, like adjust the equipment that he's bought and everything like that, kind of getting ready for a fight. And then he goes to take his glove off and his glove doesn't come off. And it's a bit. He just launches into this bit, and a half an hour he has an audience riveted because the glove is stuck to his hand, or if he gets it off of his hand, it's stuck to whatever took it off of his hand.
Right, yeah, classic.
And he's getting people out in the audience to come and help him try to pry his hands apart because they're stuck together now. And just, like, I think he's a lot more in that, you know, stealth action type of thing, where that kind of thing frustrates me immensely. And my play style is to dive in face first, mouth open, screaming. So, and I feel like that shows in the way that I do everything.
Everything.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I think it is. It's, you know, like Jenna was saying, you know, I don't know which is the chicken and which is the egg, or, you know, how that
sure.
relationship works, but you know, I'm the same.
Well, the egg comes out of the chicken's cloaca.
Yes.
What chicken?
This has been established. But when
chicken
it comes down to sword swallowing or any of these other things that I do, you know, or
mm-hmm.
wood turning or leather working or something like that, there's a lot of reading and study and thinking
yeah.
about it that happens before I ever touch one.
Yeah.
You know, I've already studied it, and I've already thought about it, and I've already spun it around 15 different ways in my head so that when I'm there, nothing surprises me because I've already been through every possible scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and I'm wondering if playing some of those games will help me to maybe do that a little better, or just be less of how I am.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
I mean, okay, I want to be clear, though. Like, I like an awful lot of how you are, James. Like, beginning to get this feeling of, like, oh, God, is he okay with himself? Does he need a cookie? Like,
I mean, this is kind of what individual therapy is about. But, you know, I do, but I also, like, a lot of the people that I look up to, the most. They are very different from me.
Sure.
And I feel like having a more expansive toolkit than just a hammer is probably going to help me to complete more projects.
Okay, so long as you're not like, I'm a horrible person, blah, 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 and you're just looking to improve areas that you're like, you know what, I'm not super happy about this aspect. You don't want your self-worth to be like... Like, I know I pick on you a lot.
You
and I know
do.
Salsa picks on you a lot.
I never listened to Salsa. That's...
Oh, okay. So I know I pick on you a lot.
Who are you people? What are you doing in my house?
Yeah.
But, like, I think it was the phrase, the way I am. And I'm just like, you're many ways. And many of them are delightful. And some of them are sometimes annoying, but also delightful on the plus side. So.
Well, like, I feel like the way that I am right now, the tool set that I have right now, I don't think it's complete and the most amazing ever, but I do feel like I've taken it to a degree of, you know, I have a lot of different kinds of hammers.
Well,
right?
You need a lot of different kinds of hammers.
I feel like the world needs a lot of different kinds of hammers and things like that. And yes. When it comes to like impulsively doing stuff, young Eric Thompson, French, has sometimes complimented me on, like, if we're going into a room, into a situation, and no one knows what it's going to be like, I will often choose you for that show, because I know that no matter what room I put you in, you are going to play. You're going to go there and you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. You're being like, well, we're doing this.
Yep. Yeah. And it might be scary and it might be weird, but you're just going to, and you're going to figure out the audience on the fly and do it. And, yeah. And that's really flattering. I would like to have things that I can put on top of that. I would like to have a larger collection.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, and there are more things to you than just that too. But yeah, like, as long as it's, yeah, like, if there was something in that phrasing that just had me being like,
yeah. Say more.
I'm sorry, well, I wasn't good. Listening. What was that like?
I'm not good at the motion things.
No, okay. James is okay, I guess.
Oh my god.
No, I don't know that I'd go that far. That's
oh, okay.
I
Anyway. I did think of another game that has actually helped me, though.
Oh yeah?
Scrabble.
Whoa, yeah.
Whoa, buddy. Not just in spelling words.
Mm-hmm.
But in justifying.
Huh.
Because you can't, like, okay, so there, say there's a word, like, in your head that you're like, I'm pretty sure this is a word and it means this.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to, like, conceptually be like, well, yeah, this is this word and it means this is a lot more skill than you would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's a lot of, okay, knowing what you know, trying to figure out how confident you are in your own knowledge,
right.
Understanding, the actual definition or what it represents.
Mm-hmm.
Those are skills that you carry across various places.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how best to apply that knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, because with Scrabble, you know, yes, you can not only can you create a word with these letters, but how do you maximize the points that you can possibly get with those words?
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I can see it.
And all of those just fill into soft skills that carry throughout other places and things.
Well, okay.
I'm still shit for Scrabble, by the way. Let's be clear.
That actually reminds me, for the past, you know, 6 months or so, a small group of us have been playing Jackbox every Saturday night.
Yeah.
My wife and I and, you know, her sister and a small group of friends. We have Zoom on her computer and we're streaming one of our friends' Xbox on the other, and we play Jackbox games. And I feel like Quiplash is my game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that game just speaks to me, because it's an improv game, and it's, you know, it's... Like, obviously, not everything's a winner. I'm not going to say that I win every game or anything like that, but it really... Being able to flex that improv muscle of, here's a prompt, and now, in the span of 20 seconds, come up with a funny scenario in your head, you know, or answer, you know, really that come up with something on the fly that is not just an answer, but is also amusing enough that people get a chuckle out of it, you know? So kind of keeping in my improv chops that way.
Yeah.
That's been very helpful. Fair. I gotta say.
Nice.
Yeah, I forgot about social games. Oh, there are some social games that I've missed playing because they help me people.
Sure.
Like, I'm scared I'm gonna get back out into the world. Like, I've already lost so many social skills that I thought I had at one point. I don't remember how to people at all.
I think I think a lot of people are. I was also having a similar thought today about, you know, just people are gonna be like, how often do I need to shower to be like out in public? You know, how often is this shirt clean or is this shirt clean?
Thinking more like with my style of PTSD, I am not always good at picking up on subtext. I can be a very literal person, and so if somebody asks me a question like, "Do you want to do X?" I'd be like, "Nope." And maybe that's not actually what they're asking me. You know what I mean?
No, I'm the same way. I'm the same way, absolutely.
And so it's those kinds of things that I'm like, I'm going to get back out there and someone will be like, oh, do you want to do X? And I'll be like, nope. And they're going to be offended. And I won't know why.
It's because we're askers and not guessers.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely, definitely.
But it can also be cultural, though. Like, in Japan, I was at a shrine visiting with one of the friends that I made in Japan, and she said, oh, since you're here, do you want to stop by the gift shop and see if there's anything that you'd like? And I was like, no, I don't really have, you know, any money or anything like that. Let's just head back to the group. And then I found out later that she was just like brokenhearted because she didn't get to stop by the gift shop, and she had her heart set on something that they only sold there, but she also didn't want to drag me over to the gift shop if I didn't, but just like she was really, and I
know we need to wrap up on this segment, but that does actually tie into the whole like subculture, like you're talking cultural, like on a grand scheme, like a different country across an ocean, but like subculture wise, there's some things that we learn and pick up off of from each other and build our subculture environments that are just kind of now like, well, we haven't had those things. So when we go back out into the world and the bright light of gas, whatever is attacking us from above, having those social interactions is going to miss that subculture element. Not even like way far away culture, like within our social groups.
All right. Dear listeners, weigh in. Let us know in the comments of the Facebooks what your thoughts are on this matter and any other matters that we've been talking about, or, you know, just whatever you feel like talking about. If you just need someone to talk to, comment. We'll respond. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Alsa or James or apropos of nothing will respond to you.
We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Okay.
Is it?
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna. Oh my god.
Jesus.
You have no idea how much this drives me insane. Oh my god.
Well, that's okay, because it's time for a Fast Five.
Yeah, Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to you from me on a hastily scrawled piece of paper.
Well, all right.
Indeed. So we'll get right to it. Question number one.
Ooh.
Less or more?
Less.
Oh, this depends so much on the context.
Well, it super does. There are lots of Mario games that have you choose between a large box and a small box for a gift at the end of a stage or in a secret tunnel or whatever. Secret tunnel. I'll choose the smaller gift. So I will choose less.
Wait, James will choose the tiny option?
I mean, when you say it like that, it seems obvious, but also, yes. I am choosing the tiny option.
I think. I think I'm going to go more.
Okay.
Just to be obstinate.
Fair.
Oh.
I too am going more.
Ah.
Question number two. Paper or flour?
Can I ask for the spelling of flower?
O-U-R.
Oh. That is way different than where I was going.
That was my suspicion. Can you use it in a sentence?
Oh my god!
It is a short word.
Nice. Well done.
Pleasure doing business with you.
I'm going to say the question has to do with when you go to knead bread, you sprinkle flour on your surface or do you put down wax paper?
It might also be, what is a good way to make sure that it releases from a baking pan? Is it to use paper, or is it, you know, a parchment, or is it better to sprinkle some flour on the inside? But either way, it's kind of the same knifey, spoony, six of one, half a horse. So there's that. I think I'm going to choose paper, because I've started, as you said, with the bread that I make, I've started lining the loaf pans with paper immediately. And when I take it out to shape it and everything like that, two or three times before knocking it into the oven, I'll use the paper instead.
I'm going to go flour. Normally, to make sure something doesn't stick to the pan, I use a nonstick pan. But I might also use like a little bit of oil or something like that. I don't sprinkle flour on the inside of a pan. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was even a thing, really. But when I'm kneading bread, I don't like dealing with extra stuff that might get in the way, and lining your table with paper is just like, now it's shifting, it's whatever, and I don't want to do steps to tape it down. I'd rather just sprinkle some flour on the goddamn table and go to town.
Sure.
So I'm going flour.
All right. I'm going paper.
Bah.
Question number three. Flora or fauna?
Flora. But fauna has a diphthong in it. Flora, because that's the name of Bryn's new plush plague doctor, named for the flowers that they would put in the beak of their masks.
Okay. I don't have pets. I'm not really an animal person. Like, I like other people's pets. It's kind of like I feel like pets about the way some people feel about children, where like, I don't want any of my own, but I'll play with other people's for a while.
Yeah. The best part of, of that interaction is giving them back.
Sometimes, often. That one time that I babysat Asher, especially. Okay, it was nobody's fault. It was absolutely nobody's fault, Salsa.
It was probably his fault.
He was doing nothing other than being a baby. Like,
like babies have big feelings and tiny bodies, and so they overflow.
Asher was, oh God, 3-6 months, something. So tiny, tiny. I'm going to go 6 months. And I got to babysit Asher while everybody else was out doing things. I don't even remember what things, but. And it was great. The first hour was great. We played and we hung out and it was a good time. And then I had to go to the bathroom. And then, like, that 2 minutes that I was away was the most horrifying, traumatic 2 minutes of Asher's poor life. Because then there was an hour of crying. And it would, there was nothing to be done other than be upset at me for disappearing for 2 minutes.
Yep.
That was nobody's fault. But yeah, that was definitely it. What?
It was your fault.
I'm going to stand clear from the blast radius.
I mean, I should have peed before you left. That's true.
Clearly.
It's true. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I'm going Flora.
Yeah, I'm also going Flora. Question number four. The horizon or the road?
Is it the destination or the journey to get there?
On a car trip, do you as are you a passenger watching the horizon, or are you the driver watching the road? Something like that. Or maybe if you're the driver, do you tend to watch the road that's immediately in front of you, or do you seek out to the horizon and watch for what's coming up?
I watch everything.
Your Netflix history certainly is starting to seem that way.
Yes, it's true. Let's see. Horizon or road? I think the journey to get there is more important than the destination, so I'm going to go road. I mean, when we're talking about actual trips, when we're talking about projects, that's all important, but yeah. I don't care how you get it done so long as it gets done.
Okay. Question number five. Now, this one is predicated on the fact that whichever one you are is not one of your choices. James, Jenna, or Salsa.
Okay. So I'm choosing between Jenna and Salsa.
Yes. And Jenna's choosing between James and me, and I'm choosing between James and Jenna.
Oh, I'm always choosing between the two of you.
I know, right?
Which one to
watch
first?
I always want the choice of neither.
That's fair.
I think. Wait, which did you choose?
Me?
Yeah.
I haven't chosen yet. I was letting you go first.
Oh, neither of you have chosen yet.
No.
Okay. I'm going to go with James.
All right.
Jenna by a hair.
I mean, I think I have slightly longer hair than James.
I don't know about that.
I have more facial hair, though.
I think his is longer.
I think the hair on the top of my head might be longer. Let's measure dicks.
All right, whip your dicks out.
I have to actually take it down, and I don't want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, they might be about the same.
Okay. I guess I haven't seen you in 9 months, so...
Fair.
Also, yeah.
Like, at least mid that. How long is my hair now? I don't even know.
Mine goes down to my butt.
Yeah, I think yours is longer. Well, that's awkward.
I'm going to say that when it comes to random acts of malevolence and violence, Salsa is way more likely to commit, like, comic mischief against me as a random thing. Jenna, if she hurts me, it's because I have done something bad to her.
Oh my God, that's horrifying.
Like yeah, you know,
it's
just
not
like,
random, it's laser focused.
Right. It is deserved.
If I am going to have a one of those conversations with you, there is a reason for it.
Yes.
I think it's, yeah. It's not like I'm just going to, you kicked my puppy and beat the shit out of you. It's, you kicked my puppy, James. I am very disappointed.
There's also that. Yeah. But like, I went to toss a cup or something into an empty candy box into a garbage can at a theater, and Salsa happened to be standing there, and he just swatted it out of the fucking air.
It was a beautiful
onto the ground, and he was like, no!
and then just started cackling and
wandered off. No, I'm pretty sure
off.
I said defense, because that's my move.
Yeah. yeah. So, like, I feel like that's a very Salsa thing, where, like, if that happened to me with Jenna, like, it would be because I was, I don't know, putting the recycling into the trash or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the fifth time. You know, like, yeah. It's... It's not random.
No,
it's not random.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who are you going with?
I'm going with Salsa.
Okay. All right. Now for the context. Hey, everybody. Woo! It's a new year.
Oh.
We're none of us are probably making New Year's resolutions, but if we had to...
Oh, no.
I know, right?
What have we done?
Question number
one. He's putting the shit on us.
No. I'm not putting any onuses on anyone. I'm saying if you
have... No, we have to do these New Year's resolutions.
No, don't. No. Oh, God.
No. No. Because the first one is already no. Question number one, less or more? Which, if you had to make a New Year's resolution, would you resolve to drink less or exercise more?
Exercise more.
Exercise more.
Yep.
Yeah, same. I'm wrong.
Yeah, I like the level at which I drink.
All right.
We had this conversation, actually,
yeah.
Throughout the show.
Yep. All right. Question number two, paper or flower? Would you resolve to read more or cook / bake more?
If it's in the spirit of a New Year's resolution where you're doing things that might be good for your growth and whatever, then it would probably be cook and bake more. If I was going to make this New Year's resolution based on what I wanted to do, it would probably be read more.
Fair. So which one are you going with?
Read. I'm lazy.
I think I was right to pick paper because I've been doing really well with cooking and baking a lot more. But reading is a struggle right now.
I have almost word for word the same answer. I've been doing a fair amount of cooking and baking, but the reading has fallen by the wayside. All right, question number three, flora or fauna? If you had to get one for the new year, would you get a new plant or a new pet?
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I pretty much called this one. I'm actually, and that was the part that I was going to get to, but I distracted myself, is that I'm looking at setting up a terrarium type thing, or possibly an herb garden, or something that is a mix of both. Make a little fairy house surrounded by like chives. It'll be great.
That's fun, yeah.
I like that's fashion. And
little rosemary trees.
Mm-hmm. There's some really adorable thyme plants out there.
Yeah.
Thyme and basil. Yeah.
James?
Yeah, I think plants. I ended up with a snake and a snake plant. I ended up with a snake and a snake plant, but I...
Wait, so snakes grow off trees?
This one does.
Okay.
It's a tiny plant.
All right.
I think I'm okay with animals, but I think I'm terrible at plants. So I think I want to be a better plant dad. Plants.
Okay.
Yeah.
We already have enough pets. I would take a plant because a plant, I can water it once and then ignore it for a while.
Yep.
All story right. Checks out.
Question number four, horizon or the road? Once we are able to leave our houses safely, and money was not an issue, would you want to travel to, you know, go to the horizon, or spend more time just on the other side of the road, locally?
Locally. I want to experience all the things that I haven't been experiencing around me. Right? Like, I want to go to Merlin's again. I want to hang out with people. I want to... Oh, God. I eat at a fucking restaurant. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get as far away from the Twin Cities as I possibly can for about 2 weeks. just to be anywhere else.
The only travel that I would want to do would be to go down to KC. Joe's family and stuff, because we didn't get to see him for Christmas. And God damn, they have a place down there with the best meatloaf, and I've been craving that meatloaf.
You're in a new meatloaf bracket.
I've told them, like, I told them the last time I was at that restaurant, I was like, you guys realize I came down here all the way from Minnesota for this meatloaf, right? And they're like, what? I'm like, you have the best meatloaf. And they're like, yeah, we kind of do. I'm like, okay.
Y'all got any more of that meatloaf? I think locally, because I like, as much as I want to travel, and go and see things, like, the thing that I am missing most is you folks. Like, having the regular weekly podcast and, all of that stuff. Like, I just,
I want to have people over in my new party house.
I want to see my other partners.
Right.
Like, my wife and I have talked a lot about wanting to get back to Europe. Specifically, we're talking about doing a trip through, like, the northern Scottish islands. Like, the you know, the Hebrides, and, you know, way up there, up further north, even all the way up to the Faroe Islands, you know, even.
The Hebrides.
And just, like, I just want to, like I said, I've been here in the Twin Cities for so long now, you know, I haven't even been able to travel to other Renaissance festivals in, like, Nebraska. Like, even to go to Nebraska is just, like, I just want to go somewhere. I just want to be able to not be here. You know?
I have reasons to go to California.
And the last question, James, Jenna, or Salsa. Who will you likely hang out with first once you are able?
Oh. I mean, it is probably going to be the both of you at the same time.
not for meetings. Hang out.
It'll probably be James.
Yeah.
Like,
go get some Popeyes together.
Yeah. And that's not to say, Salsa, I don't want to come hang out with you, but I feel like...
No ego, no hurt feelings. This is just who are you likely to hang out with?
Yeah, I think well, James and I, although it's a little different now that we don't have the house.
But, yeah, exactly.
And I very regularly just end up in the same places, so... Just by statistics.
Oh, yeah. And I don't leave the house if I can help it. So that makes sense. So. All right.
Salsa, which was yours?
Jenna.
Ah. Yeah. Mm. I'm more likely to come hang out with your wife. And then you just see me by proxy.
I feel like I'm missing out on that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I've made peace with that.
Yeah.
That has been a Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. First one should include nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and then give us context. Who's got a shout out?
Okay. Can I give a shout out to 2021 just not being 2020?
I mean, it's your shout out. You can do whatever you want with it.
It's a weird thing, but like, I know so many people are like, oh, not everything's going to end once 2021 hits. And of course not. That's dumb. But there is something about just hitting that milestone.
Yeah.
And now 2020 is gone and we have a 2021. Like, there's something about just hitting that milestone that has a lovely relief for me. And I am very cautiously optimistic that things are going to look somewhat better this coming year. It's not great, but it's what I've got on my mind right now, yeah. I think.
Oh, that's fine. James?
I am going to give a shout out to the homie gnome it's a veterinary office in St. Paul. Hmm. The staff there are super awesome. When we were worried about our little linguine's health, we were able to bring him in. And very recently, we emailed them a picture. We emailed them several pictures, both to be like, look how cute. But then we also emailed a picture that was like, we're a little worried about this spot. And they are assisting us with that to make sure that our tiny string is okay. And that's, you know, that's a weird way for them to have to do business, but I really appreciate them offering to do that.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm giving my shout out to, I guess how to, being occupied doing things with your hand crafts.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll go with that. Crafting things.
Salsa's giving a shout out to doing hand stuff.
Yes, yes. I'm giving
that. I think something we can all get behind.
Yes. Hand
stuff. Joe's ears perked up and he has no idea why.
just staying occupied. More specifically, you know, with doing physical things. I've been sitting in front of the TV of a night because it's been too cold to go out into my garage, so I sit in front of the TV and I have found little things to do to keep my hands occupied, because I have tried the fiber arts before. I have tried cross stitch and I've tried crocheting and I've tried knitting and I just can't. No, I just, right. I can't. Not that I'm unable to, but I just find zero interest or pleasure in them.
Yep.
But
fair enough.
I have had a couple little metal models that my wife gave me years ago as stocking stuffers, and I was like, I have these things, and so I've been sitting in front of the TV like putting these metal models together, and it has been great. And I put both of them together in the span of a week, and they've both been sitting in my fucking shelf for years, and they're both done now. Like way back when this whole thing began, pedantic or not, who was it? I don't remember who it was now. Who was it?
Eric Thompson?
Might have been Eric Thompson. Told us about these, this art. This is pixel art, but with little plastic gems.
Yep, that was Eric.
Okay, it was Eric Thompson. Okay, it's been a long time. But I've had that sitting around, and like I started doing that in front of the TV of, you know, late at night when the kids are in bed, and it's just been keeping my hands occupied when otherwise I would just be sitting idle, and it's been great. So that, I don't know, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, who's got something to plug?
Nope.
I do.
James.
Yeah. So there are a series of shows coming up, collaborations between Fearless and the Mississippi Parks Connection. As we are wont to do with the murder mysteries. But instead of doing that, we're revisiting our Fearless game nights that we were doing at CanCan, but now we're doing them virtually, and it's game night with a ranger. So they'll get a park ranger to come and play a series of games. Every night has, I think, four different games, including a classic game show game, at least one classic game show game. And it is $8 if you have a parks pass. It is $10 if you do not. And it helps to raise money for a really stupendous cause, and it just seems like it's going to be flipping fantastic. It is a family friendly event. We're as much as possible not working blue, so it should be PG if you want to bring family. It is, I think, this coming Thursday, and then the next three Thursdays.
Yep. It's every Thursday.
Starting at about
every Thursday in January at 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m. And so you register at the link that I will provide to Salsa. And it's, like I said, for a good cause. And it seems like it's going to be an absolute blast. And it has audience participation and celebrity guests.
Yeah, which show are you in?
I am in the second of four.
So that is the 14th?
The 14th, okay. Yes. I believe it is this week that we'll have friend of the show, Brianna Cecile. The fourth week, I think, has Bryn Berryhill, friend of the podcast.
Also fourth week. Myself am fourth week on the 28th. So you can come and watch me do shenanigans. But as James said, there will be a park ranger there. There will be Fearless members to kind of be the panelists. And there will be celebrity guests. Woo!
Yeah.
Yes, there will be audience participation in some of them. There will be possibly prizes. So,
yes.
I mean, there are lovely prizes being provided various places throughout. So it should be fun and funny, and you could win stuff. And so all of these things are fantastic. I will be putting up links, as James said. There are four nights. Each night will have a different cast with different games, with different celebrities, with different park rangers. It'll be a really good time. See them all, because all of them will be fantastic. Anything else?
That's what I got for the moment.
Cool. All right. In that case, thank you so very, very much for listening to this podcast. As always, on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.